The believer should and must have a love for other believers, a love for the brethren. And this is seen in 1 John chapter 4 in the verse 11. The apostle says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And love to the brethren is one of the great fundamental characteristics of Christianity. And it is a love that is founded upon the great love of God for us. We're reminded elsewhere in 1 John 4 of the great love of God in sending forth His Son to make that propitiation, that atonement, that covering for our sins.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we seek to bring God's Word to your soul. We're going to turn in the Scriptures to Acts chapter 20 as we consider the sermon entitled, A Service to Remember. Thinking of that service that took place in the upper chamber in Troas, the Apostle Paul was leaving the next day and he preached a long time. A young man by the name of Eutychus fell asleep and fell out of the window and was raised again. There are lessons here in this passage for you and I as we consider our approach to the Lord and to His worship. And may the Lord richly bless His word to your heart and soul today, and may you learn from God and from His infallible truth.
There was an upper chamber here as well. There was a place in view. It was not a purpose-built facility, but it was provided. It was an upper room. Verse 8, "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together." These were not electric lamps, but rather candles or various ancient means of light. And we can think of light. If you were to put your hand on a light bulb or a normal light bulb, what is going to happen if you have to change the light bulb in your home and you want to replace it with something else and you've had the light on for several hours, it's probably best not to put your bare hand on the bulb. Why? There's heat. And when we think of what is said here, many lights in the upper chamber, and it was these old-fashioned lights, oil lamps, candles, whatever it was, it gave off heat. And so it would have been quite warm in that room. That's something for us to consider in a few moments. But the light was there. Matthew Henry said that the hearers might turn to the Scriptures that Paul quoted to see whether these things were so, that the light might prevent the reproach of their enemies who said they met at night for the works of darkness. Matthew Poole said that there were many lights because many were present, because of the persecution the Christians met, lest they should be reproached for doing anything indecently. The light was on. What they were doing was not hidden. And despite the danger of persecution in these days, it was all open. It was evident who they were, why they were meeting, what was going on. What was going on? There are many today who like secrecy when it comes to meeting together. They're a secret disciple of Christ. These believers, they met together. The lights were on. There was a desire to come and not be secret. Christianity is an open faith. It is an open faith. And we're reminded of that. We're reminded of that. Luke 11, verse 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Our lights are on. Our doors are open. Why? Because we come openly to meet. Others are welcome to come and join us as we worship God because of the centrality of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a great purpose here in communion and in preaching as well. There was a desire for these things. But secondly, I want you to see devotion to the Lord. devotion to the Lord. We see this in verse 7 as well. And you might say, well, desire and devotion are similar. There was a desire to meet together, but that devotion to the Lord and to His Word is seen in that Paul preached. And it is not because Paul was a poor preacher, certainly not. But if you notice verse 9, you find that Paul was long preaching. He was a long preacher. And they still met together. This would have been no secret. They desired to be there. They desired to hear the message. They were devoted to Christ. They did not mind regarding the long preaching. What a blessing it was to fellowship with the people of God. Long, long preaching. But as they gathered together, I think the indication here is that Paul preached. He preached until midnight. If we were going to preach to midnight tonight, it would be interesting because that's 6 hours and 5 minutes. In fact, it's not. It's a little less. I don't think the clock's been changed. It's a long time. We would get tired. We would get weary. But do we love God's Word so much that we aren't looking at our clock? We don't care when things will finish. I remember hearing about men preaching, and there were those who listened said that, well, we wish you'd preach longer. And it said more and brought us more of the Word of God. And that is the attitude we are to have. We're to desire that. Today, preaching and long preaching has been set aside. There are many within the church that think that even 15 minutes is far too long for a preacher to preach. But our love for Christ and our devotion to the Lord should be such that our eye is not on the clock, that the time that we spend in worship is absolutely precious. Absolutely precious. And we're to pray and prepare to that end that God would bless His Word to our hearts, that we would desire it, that we would be devoted to it, that as we come and hear the Word of God, that our tiredness and our weariness would be set aside, that distractions would be set aside, that we could focus upon God's Word. What does Satan desire to do to distract us? To distract us. We should be more willing to give our time to the worship of God. I've had conversations with individuals, and I think I've said this before, who don't like being in church for over an hour. Once it hits 60 minutes, the pastor better be close to the amen in the final prayer. It's never happened to me in North America, and so it hasn't happened here. But that's the attitude that many have. It's for an hour. I need in and I need out. There's things to do. There's activities that need to be done. There's places I want to be. And God's worship, well, that has to be pushed back. But dear believer, we need to assess our hearts regarding our devotion to the Lord. We find in revivals of long ago, there was a desire for the Word of God. The Campus Lang Revival near Glasgow in Scotland, I visited that site some years ago in the 1740s, is often associated with George Whitefield. He was 27 years of age when he went there, July 1742. He arrived and preached at 2 p.m. to a vast body of people. 6 p.m., he preached again. 9, he preached again. He then spoke about a great commotion at 11 p.m., weeping, crying, the manifestations of spiritual distress. The meeting finished after 1 a.m. And through the night, prayer and praise were heard from the fields. He preached and referred to the toads of corruption in the hearts of sinners. The following Lord's Day, between 25 to 30,000 people were gathered, and the preaching of the Word of God had a great impact upon them. There was a desire for the Word. I'm not saying that we keep going to 1 a.m., but the principle is our desire for God's Word. They had a desire here. John Craig, I may have mentioned him before, I looked at a book before I came out this evening that told his story. He walked 5 miles to worship in the early days of the Presbyterian Church in America in the 1700s. He had a Bible in one hand, the gun slung over his shoulder. All the men in the congregation brought guns to church for their protection. 10 a.m. they started, 12 they broke for an hour for lunch. 1 they started again until after sunset, and the sermon continued and continued, 55 points, over 10 times what we have this evening. But there's a desire to hear the Word of God. They didn't come one Sunday, 55 points, that's a lot. The service was 2 hours long, that's long. Then there was a break, and then it continued. They were back the next Lord's Day. and the Lord's Day after that, and they walked to church. They walked 5 miles for all of that as well. There was a desire for the Word. We have lost that with all the distractions that we have today. We're distracted from the Word of God. We're distracted by technology. We're distracted by the entertainment that we have. We're distracted by experiencing everything almost instantly. Almost instantly. But we need to take that time to sit and listen and be devoted to the Word of God. How important this is. But notice here, thirdly, distraction from the Lord. Distraction from the Lord. We see a distraction took their minds away from the Lord. This brings us to verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell from the third loft and was taken up dead. Sleeping in church. That brings us to a somewhat humorous subject, does it not? Maybe you're guilty. Maybe someone beside you has been guilty. I remember being in a meeting one time and sitting across the aisle, there was an extra chair, and there was this man, maybe 40 years of age, probably worked all day, and during the sermon, you knew he was sleeping because you heard him. And he was oblivious to everything that was going on, and he was loud. He was loud. I heard of a minister one time who threw a hymn book at a sleeper and told him he could sleep in the apostate church that he also attended, but not this church that he had found himself in. How often this can happen? It can be because of the stress of the day. It could be because perhaps of ill health. It could be because of little sleep for good reasons. It could often be because we have neglected preparing ourselves for worship. How important that is. Getting ready for the house of God. Making sure that on a Saturday evening we're awake. Or not awake, we're sleeping. And we are preparing for God's house. Not merely reading and praying and seeking the Lord to bless the Word to our hearts. But getting rest so that we will be alert and we won't be tired. And our minds will be alert to receive the Word of God. There are many lights in the chamber. As we said, it was warm. And this young man fell asleep. There was a distraction that took place, taking away from the preaching of the Word of God. Let us pause there for a moment. Distractions. Oh, that we should be careful that we do not distract the worship of God. And we do not distract the preaching of the Word of God. There are unavoidable distractions. Someone can take on well. I've been in meetings where there have been those who've took on well. We understand that. That's not their fault. It can happen. But there are reasons where meetings can be disturbed and it's avoidable. And we need to take care that we do not disturb or distract from the preaching of the Word of God. Satan desires to distract. As God's Word is preached, he desires our minds to be elsewhere. And some distractions can have a great way of doing that. I remember one time I was preaching. I'd picked my sister up from work the night before, but I was a little tired, and so I set an alarm just in case, but I forgot to turn it off. And I'm preaching, and it came to about 7:20, 7:29 when I set the alarm to pick my sister up so I could leave just after 7:30 the night before. And I'm preaching. My phone is turned off, and the alarm went off. And I was preaching about the wrath of God and about hell, and I was able to tie it into some sort of spiritual application regarding a suddenness and the sound of the alarm. But it was a distraction. It was a distraction. We should be careful with these things. But coming to this passage, we see in this distraction there was a young man. We do not know how old he was. Sometimes in Greek, the word young can refer to a man up to 40 years of age. That can be good for some of us. A young man of 40. Or it could refer to a young man of 10, 12, 15 years of age. We do not know, but he was old enough to sit in the window. Young boys like to climb. And I remember one time I was climbing, and we had a tree, the back garden of our place that we lived. It reached over the neighbor's property. I was friends with the young boy there, but I was on my own. And I climbed this tree, and I had my hands on the branch above, and I went to move to the next branch. And as I moved to that next branch, It snapped, and I was left hanging. I'm thankful to the Lord that I was able to hold on, and I was able to make the next branch. I was about 6 years of age. I don't know what I was doing up a tree, but there's a barbed wire fence right below me that I would have landed on from 7-8 feet in the air. And so I'm thankful to the Lord for his preserving grace. Young men, young boys like to climb. He was found in the window. I believe it was Matthew Henry said, young boys like to climb. He was the one making reference to that. Regardless of his age, he was at the service, which was important. But yet he was distracted. Whether it was because he was young, whether it was because he was uninterested, whatever it was, he fell asleep. And we need to ask ourselves the question, is sleeping in church wrong, yes or no? Well, the answer is yes and no. By yes, I mean that the day and our love for the Scriptures should keep us alert to receive the means of grace through the Word of God. But by no, there are unavoidable reasons for sleeping in church. You could be kept awake all night by a sick relative. It is said that Spurgeon once criticized someone who fell asleep, and he pointed it out, and he made sure that she knew, and she was alert and awake. And afterwards, she came to him, and she apologized, and said that she had been awake all night caring for a sick relative, and made the effort to still come to church, but it was too much for her, and she'd fallen asleep. And Spurgeon was humbled. He was humbled. And so there are reasons that are avoidable and reasons that are unavoidable. And we should do all in our power to avoid the possibility of falling asleep in the house of God. How often it can happen. This man, he fell asleep, whatever the reason was. And that brings us to a side issue, an important issue of preparing ourselves to worship God on the Sabbath. Taking the worship of God seriously. Making sure that we are alert. Making sure that our minds are ready to receive the precious Word of God. We need spiritual preparation, but we need physical preparation so that we are refreshed, that we will not be distracted, at the very least, be distracted from the service because we're fighting to stay awake. And at the worst case scenario, we're prevented from snoring. This young man, he fell into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. There was a consequence to his sleeping. There's no safety glass, no safety lock on the window. He fell, and he was taken up dead. Matthew Henry believes he died. There is some debate on this. I believe that he died, and there was a miracle. Certainly, there was a supernatural preservation of his life. The Lord was there and present and preserved him. But let us take care that when it comes to the house of God, whether it's sleeping, whether it's other things bearing upon our minds, maybe you have a burden, maybe you have something you're struggling with, you come to the house of God, that's all you can think about, how you're going to deal with this issue. Don't let it distract you from the Word of God. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord in prayer. Dear unbeliever tonight, oh, the devil desires you to be distracted, does he not? Distraction after distraction after distraction. Why? So you will not hear the Word of God. That television program last night that ended on a cliffhanger. Oh, I wonder what could have happened. And you're thinking, maybe this will happen next week, or it'll be this situation. And then you think, oh, tomorrow I have to do this. And you're in a world of your own. And the Word of God is being preached. And Christ is being presented. And you're being reminded of your sin, but your mind is distracted. You might as well be asleep because your thoughts are elsewhere. And when we consider the apostle here as he went and preached the Word of God and exhorted them, it was a blessed time in the presence of God. And God's Word was brought that they needed to hear. And when we think of God's Word, we should have such a high esteem of God's Word that we are always prepared to hear it. We desire to hear it, that we will not be distracted. Yes, it can be warm. Yes, we can be tired. There can be unavoidable things that come upon us. We might not be able to come home from work and close our eyes for an hour before coming to the house of God during the week. But let us pray that God will give us strength and energy. Let us try our best with the help of God to not have distractions as we come to His Word. Fourthly and finally, there was deliverance by the Lord. We find that Paul showed his love. He went down, he fell on them, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. There was dismay here at what had happened, but God brought comfort. And the miracles in Scripture, they remind us of the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blind man who could see again, healed by the Savior. A picture of the sinner whose eyes were darkened. And Christ came and removed the scales off his eyes so that he could see the glorious light of the gospel. The man who was raised to life, Lazarus raised to life again. A picture of salvation, the dead being raised to life through the power of God. And here we have this young man. There is preservation, there is deliverance here. A miraculous mercy, Matthew Henry referred to it as, that points us to the preserving grace of God to his people, how encouraging that is. But it also reminds us of the gospel. The message of the gospel of Christ is a message that delivers. There's a physical deliverance. And those physical deliverances in Scripture through the miracles point us and remind us of the great spiritual deliverance. The physical deliverances through miracles remind us and point to the spiritual deliverance through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when we consider the need of our souls, an unbeliever tonight, when you consider the need of your soul, you need services to remember. You need to come and hear the Word of God. You need to come and experience the great deliverance of the Lord through salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Oh, how many who come to hear the preaching of God's word, there's no life, no spiritual life. But through the power of Christ, those words can be said through the gospel, through faith and repentance, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." What joy there is. We're not a little comforted when we hear of souls being saved, are we not? There's great joy in salvation. Let us seek the Lord that as we meet together, we would experience the spiritual deliverances that are pointed to through this great physical deliverance. And may the Lord, looking at the physical deliverance, may the Lord preserve us and protect us as we come and worship together. There's a need to be protected as we worship together. The devil seeks to cause all manner of harm to the people of God. Many years ago in Northern Ireland, there was a gospel service in the middle of nowhere, from the Northern Irish perspective, which is probably 5 minutes down the road from the nearest town, but in the middle of nowhere. And the tourists came in, and they shot during the meeting. There's recordings, I think I heard one years ago, and you hear singing, and then you hear gunshot. And there were those that were injured, those that lost their lives. These things can happen. In other places, other countries, there's great threats regarding the Church of Christ meeting together. And what we have here is not merely something that points to the spiritual deliverance, but it reminds us of God's preserving grace to his people as they meet together. Let us pray for the Lord's protection. Let us pray for the Lord's safety. I remember when I was in Australia, they used to pray for my safety going up and down the roads. I'm not sure whether that was because of my driving or because they knew what the roads were like. But coming back late at night, one occasion, the window beside me shattered. A bird flew into it. And the only cut that I had from the glass was when I was cleaning it up the next day. The glass went everywhere else but around me. It was like there was some sort of barrier between me and the glass. The Lord preserved. The Lord preserved. It shattered an inch or two from my face, from my eyes, and the Lord graciously preserved. And I remember going back and hearing the prayers about safety on the roads and thinking God answered those prayers. Let us pray for safety and protection for us as we meet together and as we serve the Lord. But may we know that eternal protection that is found in Christ Jesus and his so great salvation. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake. Amen. For
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 17. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. The path of the Christian is not always bright with sunshine. He has his seasons of darkness and storm. True, it is written in God's word, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And it is a great truth that religion is calculated to give a man happiness below as well as bliss above. But experience tells us that if the course of the just be as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, yet sometimes that light is eclipsed. At certain periods, clouds cover the believer's sun, and he walks in darkness and sees no light. There are many who have rejoiced in the presence of God for a season. They have basked in the sunshine in the earlier stages of their Christian career. They have walked along the green pastures by the side of the still waters. But suddenly they find the glorious sky is clouded. Instead of the land of Goshen, they have to tread the sandy desert. In the place of sweet waters they find troubled streams, bitter to the taste. And they say, surely if I were a child of God, this would not happen. Oh, say not so, thou who art walking in darkness. The best of God's saints must drink the wormwood. The dearest of his children must bear the cross. No Christian has enjoyed perpetual prosperity. No believer can always keep his harp from the willows. Perhaps the Lord allotted you at first a smooth and unclouded path, because you were weak and timid. He tempered the wind to the shorn lamb. But now that you are stronger in the spiritual life, you must enter upon the riper and rougher experience of God's full-grown children. We need winds and tempests to exercise our faith, to tear off the rotten bough of self-dependence, and to root us more firmly in Christ. The day of evil reveals to us the value of our glorious hope. We thank you for joining with us today. I'm Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. We trust that our message and devotional have been a blessing to you and to your soul. May you consider the Word of God, and may the Spirit of God apply it to your heart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.